Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody here with us. And as I'm going through the news of this past week on this special Monday night edition, I noticed that the monumental attack of the mighty warriors of Allah from Iran upon Israel didn't make my review. It didn't even make my review. It just seemed not worthy. That's all. It almost felt as if it were staged for some other purpose other than to actually attack anyone. And it was just very strange. It was almost like it's possible that it was an advertising campaign for missile defense systems. And since we don't tolerate sponsors, so I'm not going to promote the advertising. And so we'll just move on. Iran didn't make it into my review, but Iraq did, possibly, if I get to it. Iraq made it in the Mark of the Beast file. Yeah, uh-huh. But let's start with a gay. It's Claudine Gay. It's not Claudine Guy. No, gay. That would be guy if it were Guy. It's gay. Claudine Gay. Do you remember Claudine Gay? He asked. Is extremely attractive. Audio engineer. She was the president of Harvard, she basically called for the genocide of the Jews, and then they found out she was a plagiarist, and it was the plagiarism that got her in trouble, not all the genocide talk. They were pretty much okay with all that, but they drew the line at alleged plagiarism. Well, the former president of Harvard University, Claudine Gay, is reportedly set to teach a reading and research ethics class for Harvard University, which will entitle her to 100% of her $900,000 a year salary, even though she will not be carrying out the alleged responsibilities for which she was contracted to receive said $900,000 a year. And we're not sure how many years this goes on for. Maybe 900,000 years? I don't know. But she's going to get her whole salary. And according to Harvard, the class she's going to be teaching, the reading and research course, which is a graduate level course because, you know, reading, that's a graduate level skill, research. These are graduate level skills. The reading and research course does not provide letter grades, but written work of sufficient quantity and quality so that the course is the equivalent to a lecture course or a seminar, meaning it's basically a no-show job for Claudine so that the school can avoid a lawsuit while simultaneously thumbing their nose at all the normal people who insisted that the anti-Semitic plagiarist should not be the president of Harvard. That's Claudine from the Peak Woke file. The ring left by woke is hopefully going to be scrubbed clean as the water level in the bowl continues to decline on Peak Woke. All right. Speaking of Peak Woke, we go to the politics file. This is a subfolder, the Politics of Babylon file, where we check in with Lori Lulu Lightfoot. Remember her? The former Chicago mayor who oddly resembles a pug. She bears a resemblance, a striking resemblance to an aging pug. An aging angry pug. Yes, indeed, that is true. Well, Lori has been appointed by the Student Council of Dalton, Illinois. She's been appointed a special investigator to probe the mayor there in Dalton, who's been accused of mishandling funds. And unironically, the student council at Dalton is going to pay Lori Lightfoot $400 an hour. to investigate mishandling of funds. Did you get that? Okay, well there. And so they say, the student council there says that Lori Lightfoot will get to work right away. That's the student council members who hired her to investigate the mayor of the village of Dolton, D-O-L-T, Dolton, oddly enough. Again, unironically. That's really all I have on that story. Do I have any? She has more authority to get what we're missing, to seal the deal and take our community back, says student council member Billy Bob Belcher. Anyway, so she's going to seal the deal. She's going to take the town back from a governing official that held it hostage because she knows all about that, does Lori Lulu Lightfoot. So there we have Claudine Gay and Lori Lightfoot opening the show. So it's bound to be a fun one. I wanted to open with some lighter fare.
She's been light.
Well, it's intellectually light. They are both rather diminutive, if I'm not mistaken. Although I really only know them from the neck up. I'm not sure how light they would be. But from the neck up, very light. Very, very light. All right. So we go from there. That was the politics of Babylon, where mishandling of funds is being investigated by a mishandler of funds and other things. From there, we go to the politics of Nineveh. If you're not sure what all this means, you'll have to do the cross references in your Bible. That was Babylon. This is Nineveh. We have a former Solyndra head, Brian Harrison, is set to receive $6.6 billion to allegedly build a chip factory in Phoenix, Arizona for Taiwanese chip maker TSMC. That's right. The former president of Solyndra. Do we remember Solyndra? Vaguely, Solyndra declared bankruptcy in 2011 under said president, Brian Harrison, after receiving over $500 million in loans from, well, the Free Beacon says they got the loans from the Obama administration, but really they got the loans from the American people. And then when they didn't pay them back and declared bankruptcy, they didn't pay them back to the American people. At which point, Brian Harrison, well, for the past, let's see, that was 2011. So for the past 13 years, he's been busy spending whatever was left that he got out of that $500 million, and now he's coming in for the big score. He's like, $500 million? Come on. With inflation, we're going to need at least $6 billion. And oddly enough, Joe Biden and Barack Obama are going to write another, is it a loan? I can't say. It might be a loan. It might be a grant. Consider it a grant for now. You'll feel better about it later. The CHIPS Act, which was signed by Joe Biden and, oh yeah. Let's see. Harrison joined TSMC Arizona. That's the Taiwanese silicon. I forget that. They're the main maker of computer chips in the whole world. Harrison joined that team in 2021. And then unironically, the CHIPS Act was signed by Biden in 2022. And a couple of years later, Harrison's cashing in $6.6 billion. That doesn't even include the 10% to the big guy. That comes out of our end, if I'm not mistaken. Not to put too fine a point on it, but that's the politics of Nineveh as we move through the broadcast. So let's go from Nineveh to the bubble blowers file. Bubble blowers, yeah. Nineveh repented the one time, but then the second time they didn't. You're not supposed to give away the cross references. People have to go look these up for themselves. But see, you were onto it. She would have figured it out probably before anyone else in the audience. No, that's okay. So we go to the blowing bubbles file or the bubble blowers file. I wasn't sure what to call this file, but checking in with Elon Musk. He's the CEO of Tesla. Every story opens up with Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Why is that? I mean, do you really have to remind us that Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla in every story going back 10 years? We know he's the CEO of Tesla. Anyway, it won't be long before that title is really embarrassing, and Elon will be asking not to. It'll be sort of like Solyndra, but without as much stolen money. And Elon Musk won't want to be he won't want to be listed as the Tesla CEO at some point in the not too distant future. Mark my words. But the Breitbart reporters following the urinalism script, Tesla CEO Elon Musk has made a bold prediction. Bold. Because, you know, he's so bold. He says, Elon Musk says AI will be smarter than the smartest human within the next couple of years. Smarter than the smartest human. Which, I mean, I think he means him. I think he's talking about himself there. So he thinks AI will even outstrip him for mental acuity, intellectual acuity. And then the Breitbart reporters go on to tell us that Musk, who is known for his hype-filled predictions, they don't like Elon all that much over at Breitbart, I've noticed. He's known for his hype-filled predictions, and I will add his stock market bamboozlement. He's known quite well for it. He says AGI, that is artificial general intelligence, thank you very much. He says AGI will be smarter than the smartest human within 2 years. Probably next year, within 2 years, he says. He says that even though there is no such thing as artificial general intelligence, it doesn't even exist, but he thinks that there's the potential that it will be smarter than the smartest human within a couple of years. And he's not the only tech believer. I'm sorry, the tech believer. Tech leader. Yeah. Did I say tech believer? He's not the only tech leader who believes that AGI is right around the corner and it's going to outsmart all of us. The founder, co-founder of DeepMind. DeepMind. I don't like that. I would not call my company DeepMind because it just seems creepy. And it seems to be going in the wrong direction. It's going. Your mind should not be going downward. It should be going upward. But these guys, well, it just gives you some idea of where they're headed. DeepMind founder Shane Legg. He has also predicted that AGI could become a reality within the next decade. What? He says it'll become a reality within the next decade. Musk says it'll be smarter than the smartest human within 2 years. And so it all depends on whose stock you're hawking. How much hype do you need to drive that price up to its target level before you cash out? Or however all that works. I don't know how it all works in the stock market. But I know that Shane Legg is hawking stocks almost as fast as Elon Musk. Shane with DeepMind, Elon with his, so what's it called? XAI. Because, you know, Musk, he's the most creative person, so he puts an X on everything. So what, does he not know how to sign his name? Does he just put an X on things? So I don't know. Maybe he's a little off his game. I don't know. After smoking all that dope on Joe Rogan's show, maybe he's perma-fried. Anyway, he's hawking stocks for his thing, and Shane is hawking his stocks. And by the way, there's no such thing as artificial general intelligence. Just like there's no such thing as a green electric car. I mean, unless you paint it green, then it would be green. Anyway, Elon Musk, by the way, unrelated, he's seeking to raise up to $6 billion funding for a proposed valuation of his XAI project of $20 billion. That means he's hawking stocks. That raise up to $6 billion means to bamboozle enough people with enough money to buy into his hype that AGI is going to replace all of them. And they better get out in front of it and make the money while they can before AI takes over the world and churns them into the earth to raise the next year's corn crop.
Yeah.
It's the Weekly Worldview.
And I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us.
Through the first break there, and just checking the ticker in between there on the break, and it seems missile defense stocks are rising faster than Nancy Pelosi's NVIDIA portfolio. It's amazing. I mean, with a 99% hit rate, yeah, you can sell some missile defense out there. So I'm going to leave that alone because I really don't know. But it almost seems like the Iranian attack on Israel was coordinated on both ends by the same team. It just I know, and I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, except where I see conspiracies. That's all. The 99% hit rate. I mean, I know that they're Muslim rockets, and Muslim rockets are not known to be the most efficient delivery platforms, but 99%, really? So the tell will be if Israel retaliates and somehow misses 90% of the targets that they strike in their quote-unquote retaliation. And then, well, at least it won't lead to World War II this week, or World War III. I've lost track. Three. World War III. Yay, at least World War III won't happen. That's something. If they can sell enough weapons to enough smaller countries based on past performance, then perhaps the big show may not be required quite as soon. We can all hope for that. Speaking of the big show, let's go to the Politics of Sodom file, where we check in with one Melania Trump, who's been notably absent from the political milieu since Donald Trump, I believe he has acquired the Republican nomination, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he has secured it, not acquired it, secured it, I believe is the proper term. Melania hasn't been around. And of course, the left-wing press, they report it's because Melania hates Donald. Because everyone hates Donald, because that's what everyone does. They hate Donald Trump. And Melania must hate Donald Trump. That's why they say she hasn't been seen. Well, now she's stepping out. Melania Trump is coming out. She's going to host her first major political event of the election season. It's going to be April 20th, where she will host the Log Cabin Republicans inside her own home. I said the Log Cabin Republicans. Are you all familiar with the Log Cabin Republicans? They are a pile of queers and perverts who are Republicans. They are the gay Republican, I don't know what you call, political action committee maybe? I forget what they are. But whenever you have a bunch of homosexuals who form a club, you pretty much know what that's all about. Log Cabin Republicans.
Really? That's what
Yeah, it's the gay Republican club. Oh. They go clubbing together. So she's going to host a bunch of homos, queers, sodomites, perverts in her own home. Not she into a hotel or a stadium or an arena. No, she's inviting them into her house. So just mark that down, all you evangelicals. Just could you make a note that her first major political effort of the election season is to appeal to the sodomite, pervert, antichrist wing of the Republican Party? Just so you know. Let's see. Are there any more details on the event? Log Cabin Republicans, April 20th, in an effort to reconcile past political differences, Matt Schlapp is now slated as the honorary men's room attendant at the event. Oddly enough, I didn't think they got along at all, but he's going to be involved there. Now we go to the death after Roe file. So I just gave you the update on Melania hosting Sodom at the Mar-a-Lago. And now President Trump has announced, former President Trump, former President Donald Trump says that Arizona has gone too far. All right, now, You may not be aware of what's happened. Are you aware? He asked. Oh, yeah. He's like, she knows. So the Arizona Supreme Court made a ruling that affected another ruling that had another effect on another ruling and another law. The bottom line is a so-called anti-abortion law from 1864 is going to be allowed to go into effect May 1st is the claim. So when I read this, the first thing I tried to do is find this 1864 law in Arizona. And I just don't know how to look for it. I'm not a lawyer. If there's any lawyers listening to the show or any legislative aides or anyone who knows anything about how to use Google better than I know, then please, if you could find me the text of this 1864 law, I would be interested to read it. I've been unable to find it, but I must admit that I've been traveling. I'll be traveling more. I have a full-time job. I have a family, and I can't spend all my time searching for the text of this 1864 law, but I would like to find it. From what I understand, as has been reported, the law from 1864 basically says you can't kill a baby except to save the life of a mother, which means back in 1864, someone wanted to find a way to make abortion an option. That's what that said, because they said you can kill the baby to save the mother, which is never true. So that tells you how far back this problem goes, just in America. I mean, all the ancient religious leaders used to set a certain arbitrary point at which the human child was considered to be a person. And then the religious leaders would make their decree in all the various religions. And it was all to accommodate some notion of a legal way to kill babies so that they could have access to it. Them and their rich friends and their poor friends. Anyone who could come up with the cash had some access to some abortion somehow, because we'll all pretend that there could be a medical situation where we have to save the life of the mother. And so we'll set up just this one clinic over here just for that. And, you know, it'll be very strictly enforced, of course. And so Arizona did this in 1864. And so now that's being called, the Politico calls that Arizona's high court ruling outlawing abortion. That's what they call that, which is, it's all right. You know, it's all, people are generally stupid and you get by with that, but not here. You can't get by with that. It's not outlawing abortion. It's facilitating abortion. Maybe it facilitates fewer in your mind than the rabid, froth at the mouth baby killers who want to kill and eat every baby. You know, like the girls in the squad, you feel better about yourself, because I'm not like the girls in the squad. I don't want to actually kill and eat the babies or grind them up into skin cream like they do. I only want to set a reasonable limit of, you know, we can talk about it. Where do you want the limit? We'll set the limit somewhere reasonable. You know, like in 1864. All right. But now Trump has come out and spoken on the topic, now that it's something of a controversy. And he says abortion should be left up to the states. He reiterates that. And regarding this problem, this embarrassing problem for the Republicans, that a law from 1864 could be allowed to restrict abortions in Arizona, Trump says, yeah, they did that, and I think it'll be straightened out. It'll be straightened out. It's all about states' rights. States' rights, it'll be straightened out. The governor and everyone else, they've got to bring it back into reason. It'll be taken care of. So Donald Trump, in a statement, implies that any restriction on abortion, which this is like the lowest restriction of all the baby killers. All the baby killers have a different play, and life of the mother is considered to be the most reasonable, least extreme. Is it, or is it, or maybe I've got that backwards. The baby killers think that if you only have an exception for the life of the mother, that's practically like banning abortion. And Trump says, well, that's just, it's not within reason. Trump wants to be more reasonable. He's signaling that Arizona went too far in banning abortion, and Politico tells us this is a sign of just how politically volatile the issue is for Republicans. Not to mention the babies being killed, but Politico's not interested in that. I mean, the name of the website is Politico. We know what they're interested in. They remind us that polling shows that full abortion bans, without exceptions, are deeply unpopular with voters. The voters being fornicating baby killers. At least the majority are fornicating baby killers. And so naturally, they have a problem if there's no exceptions for their abortions. And Donald Trump is one of them. We do have a quote here from Biden's communications director, who I'm not sure who the guy is, but I'm sure he's a very important person. He says, Trump owns the suffering and chaos happening right now in Arizona. So, to Joe Biden's spokesman, no surprise here. The possibility of unwanted children being born equals suffering and chaos. Right? Heaven forbid that an unwanted child should be born. That just leads to, well, we know, suffering and chaos. And Donald Trump basically agrees with this guy. He's a little further along one way on the spectrum is all, but he agrees. And most of the evangelical MAGA hat wearing, a rally attending evangelicals, they agree. They're just somewhere else along the spectrum. Speaking of the spectrum, Carrie Lake, one of the great white hopes of conservative Republican America, she came out against the Arizona ruling. She called on the Democratic governor to come up with an immediate common sense solution. This is embarrassing. Carrie Lake voiced support. She voiced support for that same law a few years ago when it was merely theoretical that this 1864 law could come back into effect. Kerry was for it then. Now that it's politically inconvenient and there's an election coming up and she's running for Senate, now she's not. We need to fix this. We need to come up with an immediate common sense solution. Another Republican there, David whatever, he says child killing should be decided by Arizonans, not from the bench. So he said abortion. I said child killing. Arizona should be deciding which children are killed, not judges. That's a very conservative Republican position. I'm being sarcastic. Then we have Representative Juan, who they don't say if he's a Republican or a Democrat. He says the ruling was a disaster for women and providers. Providers. That means the people who actually chop up the babies and hand out the pills and do the actual killing, they won't know where to draw the line. That's a disaster. All right, so there's all the takes on that. And if someone can find me the text of the 1864 law in Arizona, I would very much appreciate it. I'm hoping there's some people out there with more time on their hands than me. The fact that you're listening to the show means you have more time on your hands than me, although that can't be true. I mean, I'm doing the show. So I guess we have about the same amount of time on our hands, at least during this show. And don't stop listening to the show to go look that up. Keep listening to the show. Or if you're really good at that, go ahead and turn the show off and go look it up for me. Go find that. I'm willing to suffer the potential loss of a viewer or a subscriber, although we don't have viewers. So we don't do videos yet. But I may be talked into doing video and doing the whole YouTube thing, maybe. Now, maybe not. Yeah, because I actually don't care if the world listens anymore or not. And I know that's very cynical and I'm jaded and I feel bad about that. I don't care enough to conform to the formula required for mass appeal. I'll just leave it at that. But I'll work in other ways and through other outlets to do that, because I do think there is value in reaching many, many, many people. It's just that I want to maintain a certain level of, well, I don't want to call it quality because that would seem kind of presumptuous, but just a certain level of, I'll just leave it at that. Certain level. How about that? I want to maintain a certain level.
Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for being with us on this special Monday night edition of the Weekly Worldview. Does anybody recognize that?
It's the lever.
No, it's a... Welcome tonight for the special Monday night edition of the Weekly Worldview. Okay, so we'll see if I'm doing a decent impersonation, if anyone in the audience can guess who that was. But you almost have to be at least 50 years old to remember that guy. Yeah, you have to be at a certain level. Uh-huh. That's something like that. All right. And so... We go from, where were we? We were, that was the death after Roe file, and now we're going to go into the politics of Gehenna. Mm-hmm. The politics of Gehenna. The headline from the New York Post is, Trump promises abortion rights. Yes. And folks at the New York Post, in my estimation, are part of the rah-rah Donald Trump crowd. I mean, they like to report on the bad stuff and the controversy and the leftist accusation, the maniacal leftist crazy accusations against Donald Trump, because it makes for good copy and it sells papers and advertising. But all in all, at the end of the day, they are supporters of Donald Trump winning another 4-year term, because that'll be even better for copy, sell more ads, more New York Post, all of that. So. The headline, Trump Promises Abortion Rights, is meant to ameliorate the concerns amongst Americans who might not vote for Donald Trump because he might not let them kill enough babies. And believe you me, there are enough people worried about not being able to kill enough babies that Donald Trump might lose the election based on that issue. Yeah. I believe there are enough. I mean, run the numbers. A third of women of childbearing age have killed at least one of their own children. A third. And then now count the family member, the boyfriend, the husband, the molester, the rapist who was involved, the in-laws, the parents, the grandparents who helped facilitate the abortion. And in my estimation, two-thirds of Americans have participated in at least one abortion. I'll say two-thirds of all Americans of voting age have participated in at least one abortion. And so there's a lot of guilt to go around. And people don't want to vote for anything that might imply that they're baby killers, because that's a tough one to admit. Although, that's the one that'll get you to heaven, is if you can admit that, you can probably admit just about anything and say you're sorry and ask God for his forgiveness. And he said that his son has paid the price for anything. It doesn't matter how bad. Even that. So, but most people won't admit that because of human nature and the fallen, all of that. Donald Trump says, Donald Trump is in no way interested in helping you admit that. Almost as much as none of the people supporting Donald Trump have any interest in helping him find a way out of eternal damnation. They would prefer another 4-year term, even if Donald Trump spends eternity in hell to get it for him, which is kind of sad. But that's where we are. And so Donald Trump has to come out with, well, this is what he actually believes. He says now we have abortion where everyone wanted it. Mm-hmm. That's right, with the states. The states, I said. Whatever they decide, it must be the law of the land. That's it. The states. Now, you remember either last week, a couple weeks ago, I forget, but Donald Trump had said he was going to come out with an actual time limit. He was going to say, Here's where we divide the baby here at 14 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 weeks. Where is it? Well, the New York Post reports that Donald Trump did not specify, as was expected, how many weeks he believes children may be allowed to live. See, he didn't say that. Well, they didn't say that either. They said that the New York Post said that Trump did not specify how many weeks of pregnancy he believes abortion should be banned. That's all these extra words. How many weeks of pregnancy? Why do you have to say of pregnancy? We're talking about an abortion. Obviously, there's a pregnancy involved. Duh. But the journalists are taught to insert extra words to draw attention away from the actual subject, which is the killing of an innocent child.
And Trump believes he didn't say how many weeks children may be allowed to live. After he did some very cynical polling and political calculations, and he realized that setting a date was not in his best political interests, it was better to just stick with the states' rights line. That's where we want it, is right. We got it right where we want it now, at the states. He went on to say, at the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. The will of the people, I say, at the end of the day. And I just want to tell Donald Trump, if I could talk to you, if you would take my call, at the end of the day, Don. In fact, scripture refers to that. It's called in that day. Now, it's, you say at the end of the day, the scripture says in that day. It's actually all about the will of God. And the will of God is that Donald J. Trump would not consent to any murders at any time, especially murders that are done under color of law, under any governmental agency or official. That would be the will of God, that Donald Trump would be against all of that. But the will of the evangelical right is that Donald Trump win the election no matter what. And they're willing to, go along with the fact that Don, I'm telling you, we got it right where we want it. Right where we want it. We'll see how that calculation works out. So from Donald Trump, the bamboozler, the epic bamboozler of evangelicals, if ever there were one, he's the most... He's the mostest of that, bamboozler of evangelicals. From there, we go to the Stone Cold Killer file where we check in with Bill Maher. So, and Bill Maher put it quite succinctly. He said that the left says that pro-lifers just want to control women. And Maher said, well, not if you believe it's murder. It's not about controlling women, said Bill Maher, Stone Cold Killer. He said, if you believe it's murder, he said that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing or the exceptions. Trump's plan is to leave it to the states, says Bill Maher, who then goes on to say, quote, Bill Maher says this, quote, you mean so killing babies is okay in some states? Unquote. And you realize that Bill Maher is actually thinking more clearly than most of the evangelicals who are going to vote for Donald Trump, thinking that they're somehow pro-life. Bill Maher actually thinking more clearly, which is why he'll end up in a lower pit of hell, but still, he's thinking more clearly. Bill Maher goes on, he says, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. The pro-lifers, he says, they don't just hate women. They don't hate women. They think it's murder. And then Bill Maher goes on. He says they think it's murder, and it kind of is, and I'm just okay with that. I am, unquote, says Donald Trump. Unironically ending that statement with the words, I am. I mean,
Donald Trump or Bill Maher?
Bill Maher. Did I say Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's a slip of the... Bill Maher said, they think it's murder, and it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. Bill, you're not. You're not. Now, I know you're okay with that. And it is murder. Your suspicion that it kind of is murder, that is a tell that you know it's murder. And he pretty much came out here and said it is murder, and I'm okay with it. And so I just want to stop the presses right now, because in a normal, sane society, Bill Maher would be arrested for advocating murder. To say that's murder and I'm okay with it, that's advocating a criminal act. And that should be illegal. You should be arrested, and he should be put on trial for saying it should be okay to murder people. But we don't live in a normal, sane society. We live in a society that is soaked in the innocent blood of millions, tens of millions of innocent people that have been murdered. And so everybody's pretty much okay with that. And now Bill Maher's willing to come right out and just say, hey, it's murder. Let's all just admit what we're okay with. We're okay with killing unwanted, inconvenient, embarrassing people. And for that, Bill Maher should be arrested immediately. But he won't be. And it's disturbing that the right-wing talking head media, the allegedly right-wing talking head media, goes more and more to Bill Maher for clear thinking on ethics and morality than we can find in, well, in church, I think. In fact, let's see if I have it here. I left it out, I think. I was going to talk about one of the evangelicals who is supporting Donald Trump, but it appears he didn't make the cut. Yeah. I don't think. Well, maybe he did. Maybe I just missed it here. I had a story here on one of the evangelical preachers, one of the biblical lightweights, Robert Jeffress, and apparently that didn't make the cut. I probably read it a second time and I threw it away. But he basically says that Americans should know how to vote in November. He said, think about it, pray about it, all right? Listen to a few of my sermons and you'll know. He says there's a choice between good and evil. And you have a responsibility. You must vote. And you must vote for the right party. You know, because that's in the Bible. But I threw that story away. So, Bill Maher speaking more clearly than Robert Jeffress calls himself a preacher. And I know Bill Maher's going to hell hotter and faster than Jeffress, but it's just instructive of the state of where we are right now. And speaking of that, we go into the Straight to Hell file where we check in with O.J. Simpson. Yes. O.J. Simpson's final will was filed in Clark County, Nevada. He died this past week of cancer. And his longtime Las Vegas attorney, Malcolm Laverne, has been named as Simpson's executor. And they're going to go through the will. And O.J. Simpson's lawyer says that it's going to be his life's work. He says, it's my hope that the Goldmans get nothing, zero, says O.J.'s lawyer. Them specifically, I will do everything in my capacity as the executor to try to ensure that they get nothing. That's the parents of the kid that O.J. cut his head off, that who won the $30 million judgment against him. That's the lawyer is going to be dedicated to giving them nothing. O.J.'s property has been placed into the Orenthal Simpson Revocable Living Trust. So he set it all up, O.J. did. So we found out, by the way, that O.J. spent the last 20-some-odd years of his life, I mean the time he wasn't in prison, making sure that he appeared to be as poor as possible so he never had to give a nickel to the people whose family member he killed. Family members, I should say. And there's an article, if you Google O.J. Simpson cash, you'll see how O.J. Simpson orchestrated his life to keep money away from them. He only gave them about $130,000, and most of that was from the auction where he was forced to sell off the memorabilia that was confiscated, the memorabilia that I burned on the steps of the L.A. County Courthouse in February of 1999 in my effort to reach O.J. Simpson and the people who supported him getting away with murder. That was my effort and Bob Enyart's effort to reach those people with a message that they need to repent. And so O.J. spent all those years keeping the money away from. And so what do we learn? And now his lawyer has been instructed and I'm sure directly ordered in writing in the documents to keep the money away from the victims, even after O.J.'s dead. That's how bad O.J. wanted to keep the money away from them. back in February, by the way, O.J. posted up on X that there's a rumor out there that I'm in hospice. He said he was not in hospice and that his health was good. So he's either a pathological liar or, I mean, It's possible he thought that, like millions of other 70-something guys with prostate cancer, that he would survive. But a couple of months later, he's dead. Yeah. Within, what, February, March? Less than 3 months, he's dead. Fully vaccinated, I'm sure. Absolutely. Vaxxed to the max. His lawyer, Laverne, stated that Simpson was diagnosed with prostate cancer years ago, and he beat it the first time. He beat the rap the first time, said OJ's lawyer. And just a recap, the timeline. OJ Simpson was sentenced to 33 years after a jury found him guilty of rousting some memorabilia dealers after he had been acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. And that occurred, by the way, 13 years, almost to the day, 13 years after he was acquitted. 13 years after he was acquitted, he was sentenced to 33 years, and he served 9 years, just in case you're counting. And as far as we know, despite my effort and Bob Enyart's effort to reach him and to witness him, O.J. Simpson recently began a stint of eternity, possibility of parole never, stint of eternity in hell. And so I had wondered, you know, I wonder if I'd ever gotten a chance to talk to him, if I could have witnessed him. And then I realized he's a horrible, awful human being, completely self-absorbed and arrogant. And that was probably the only way any Christian could have gotten his attention is what we did. Although I'm certain in prison he heard about Jesus, because I had a good friend of mine from high school, spent a long time in prison. And after he got out, I called him and I asked him if he had faith in Jesus. And he said, oh, yeah, I've been to prison. We all do. That was his, yeah. So I'm sure OJ heard about Jesus Christ in prison. But OJ Simpson, this is the sentence of OJ Simpson. The OJ Simpson's acquittal became the unstoppable impetus to his ultimate conviction and incarceration. Had OJ not gotten, if OJ hadn't beaten it the first time, he might not have received the ultimate sentence he's serving now. View. That's right. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. And that's it for OJ.
That's disturbing.
Well, can you imagine?
It's 90s.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it's so disturbing. It's from the 90s, where that's where OJ became infamous. OJ Simpson, probably the most emblematic symbol of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so... So what happens in a society where incredibly famous people get away with murder and still remain popular to some degree, enough to sustain a life of cash for golf rounds and cash for autographs and cash for signing footballs and other things, and where famous media and comedy figures like Bill Maher can say, yeah, you know, it's murder, but I'm okay with that. Well, what happens? Well, here's just one example from dozens, if not hundreds, that have occurred just since the last time we got together on this show. Paige Prince, a 30-year-old mother, was in court fighting for sole custody of her two oldest kids in a divorce dispute. She was killed by attorney Joseph Houston during a deposition at a law office in suburban Las Vegas. The lawyer who killed her was her former father-in-law. He also murdered Paige Prince's new husband, who also happened to be a prominent lawyer, before then shooting himself and killing himself. The lawyer who shot the woman and her husband and then committed suicide was representing the ex-husband in the divorce, which was his son's. So this is a family detonation that just happened to happen in a law office at a deposition. And I've been to a deposition. It's very stressful. A lot of stress. In fact, a deposition is designed to be the legal alternative to physical torture. So there's a lot of stress. And when there's that much stress in the air, the breakdown of the family can be deadly. The breakdown of this particular family, divorce, lawsuit, custody battle, becomes deadly. In a society where murder can be casually referred to by entertainers and where suicide is more and more normalized, murder and suicide become more normalized. So they happen more and more. Because once you've become comfortable with the idea of killing yourself, how hard is it to cozy up to the idea of killing the other people you blame for your problems? So that's what happened here. You've got a father-in-law stressed out over the detonation of the destruction of his son's marriage, and dad feels like the son's getting the short end of the stick. They end up in court, and there's battle and stress, and the father-in-law at some point decides to kill himself and then slowly decides to do what he did. It's just horrible, awful. And this is just one of dozens, if not hundreds, of similar events that have happened just since the last time we got together. And that is a sign. Everywhere there's signs. See the signs. The sign of the times. Okay. So from there, we go to the No Fear file, where an 18-year-old killed a Tennessee police officer. He wounded two others. The cops were responding to a suspicious vehicle call last Friday, and one was shot to death. The other two were shot by an 18-year-old who had been released from jail on felony charges just a week or so prior. The killer was arrested on March 5th for a car theft, also in possession of a handgun. The judge allowed him to go free without bond on his own recognizance. And on his own recognizance, he shot and killed Officer Joseph McKinney. I won't mention the name of the killer. He was killed. Yeah, he was also killed in the shootout. The killer was killed by the cops. Two other officers this past week killed outside of Syracuse, New York. The person authorities consider the prime suspect in the case was also killed. So when there's a stressful situation that involves police and a perpetrator decides that they just don't care and they want to die, they just do it now. They take out as many of the cops as they can and they get themselves killed. Because murder is... It's like the furniture anymore. It's just part of the scenery. Very sad. And so the conviction of O.J. Simpson would have helped. The arrest tomorrow morning of Bill Maher for advocating murder, that would help. It'd be a step in the right direction, as they say. Meanwhile, we could go back to some more traditional means and events of slaughter. In Sydney, Australia, a priest was stabbed during his sermon by what's being called a knife-wielding man. And they've been calling him a knife-wielding man for about a day and a half. And listen to this. It says, Bishop Mari Emanuel was preaching. A man dressed in black approached the altar and allegedly stabbed the priest. This is Breitbart. I want to ask the urinalists at Breitbart or whoever they're quoting. Have you seen the video of the guy stabbing the priest in the head, face, and neck with a knife? Have you seen that video? The stabbing was not alleged. I can assure you of that. I've seen the video. Now, maybe you could pretend that it's alleged that this guy did it or not. You could pretend that. Anyway. But a man dressed in black definitely approached and stabbed the priest. At last, we know the priest is still clinging to life, and the killer's been arrested. It's been declared a terror attack, but nobody wants to say it's a Muslim. At least not yet. What are the odds? By the time you hear this, it will have been announced that it is a Muslim. And then that was within hours of another stabbing. Five women and a guy were stabbed to death in Sydney before the police finally shot the maniac, a killer. That guy's name was Joel. We don't think he was a Muslim. Although, no, they don't even think these are connected. It's just part of the scenery in Australia. You remember that Australia has been seized by a criminally insane sex cult back during the COVID hysteria. And the decline and fall of Australia will only accelerate after that. As same thing will happen here in America if something doesn't change. Relatively soon, we go to the Justice File, check in with Joran van der Sloot. You remember Joran van der Sloot? He murdered Natalie Holloway down in, I can't remember, a Caribbean island there. Aruba, yeah. He murdered her in Aruba, hit her body, and then finally made a deal with the parents to show him the body, and then he ends up going to jail for some amount of time. He's basically beaten it for this time, as far as he knows. He's serving 28 years for murder in a Peruvian prison. He was attacked by two inmates about 10 days ago. Unfortunately, guards stepped in and stopped the inmates from beating him to death, which is what they wanted to do. He suffered only bruises and lacerations, did Joran van der Sloot. So, I'm not sure there was a point to that story, except that I felt good that at least he got beaten. And I don't know if that's cynical or if that's bad of me to be. But I'm hoping someone will get Joran van der Sloot's attention by bringing him to the brink of death or making a serious threat of death against him, because the state won't. The governing officials in the Western world don't know what to do with a murderer. They don't know how to help a murderer to repent. The best way is to tell him you're going to meet Jesus tomorrow. So think about that all night, because tomorrow you're going to die. That's the best way to help a murderer. And they don't know what to do. So at least the inmates in the Peruvian prison are trying to help. All right. All right. Meanwhile, let's go to Iraq. Remember, I told you Iran, they didn't make the cut this week because that was just embarrassing. What is that? Is that like an ad for Raytheon? What was that? Anyway, but we go to Iraq, where lawmakers in Iraq have been trying to pass a bill that includes the death penalty for what the Times of Israel calls same-sex relations. So there was a time in Israel when that was just called sodomy. So in Iraq, Babylon's trying to pass a law against sodomy, and the Jews are very upset about it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Speaking of a sign of the times. Diplomats for Western countries, including Israel, say that if this bill is passed that outlaws sodomy, it could have serious consequences for Iraq's political and economic ties. Huh. You better watch what you do there, Mr. Iraqi legislator. You don't want to cost your country any significant Western investment and aid, do you? No, not AIDS. Aid. It's different. Yeah, they're both involved, but the one is money. So think about this before you. So this bill, this in Iraq, imposes life imprisonment or the death penalty for anyone engaging in, well, I don't have to say, you know what they engage in. Anyone who does that. I'm not sure where they draw the line for life imprisonment or the death penalty. But at least they're willing to call it a crime, and that's helpful to some degree. Also, wife swapping would also be a death penalty offense. The law would also ban the promotion of homosexuality. Punishable by some time in prison if you're out there. I guess that means if you work for Disney or, I don't know, you're a member of the teachers' union. Punishable by prison time in Iraq. Currently, Iraq does not explicitly criminalize sodomy because Iraq was a relatively normal country in that in that respect in that they didn't really have to even say that. It pretty much went without saying before Iraq was taken over by the criminally insane sex cult that has been busy destroying America. They got a hold of Iraq starting about 20 years ago. 30 years ago. When did they kill? 20 years ago. Whenever they killed the Iraqi dictator. Yeah, I can't even remember his name with the mustache. You all remember him from the Iraq war. Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was a traditional dictator. Yes, he might want to murder you, steal all your money, and enslave you. He did not want to molest your children, and he wouldn't tolerate that. But now, Prime Minister Mohammed over there, he's scheduled to meet Joe Biden next week. Oh, maybe this week. And the meeting is all, it's going to be about more American investments in Iraq. And so they're going to put the kibosh on the law against sodomy because that could have some significant economic impacts, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you don't know what I mean. I'll tell you what I mean. It's from Revelation chapter 13, where the author is addressing the Antichrist, and he says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Count it up there in Iraq before you pass this law. You better get the mark if you want the money." That's it for the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord, Terry will return next week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio, and hopefully we'll get together again. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.